Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Welcome back, Billy. We didn't miss you, Hopper. I'm so sorry, man. And one thing is for sure, I do not speak Russian. Welcome back to Stranger Things Season 3, Episode 2. Let's go.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, guys. Stranger Things Season 3, Episode 2, The Mall Rats. And yes, that is right. I speak absolutely zero Russian, even though I am Russian. I felt the least Russian I have ever felt ever during this episode, as I did not know that we were talking in pig Latin either. Roxy Stryer here, like I said, talking Stranger Things, but I am not alone because I have a fantastic panel. She is somebody who knows everything sci-fi, guys. She is our monster lady. Let's see if she can give us a bigger growl this time. It's Angelica Trey.
Rawr! How's that?
It was good, but you asked how that too quick.
Oh,
I was going to compliment you.
All right. The follow through. All right. I got it for next time.
Also, can you growl without doing that thing with your hands or no?
I feel like I need the claws. It's like method. I got to get into
it. Like more of a snaky kind of.
Demogorgon.
But then that's Demogorgon-y like a thing.
Okay,
yeah.
But Demogorgon, what's that sound?
I don't know. I just did it right. As she hosted the very first after show for Stranger Things, the official Netflix one. Yes, that is her snooty little face patting herself on the back. It's Tiana Hobson in the house.
Oh, hello, everyone. Hello. Thank you.
Hey, were you proud of yourself?
Yeah, just a little bit.
You should be.
I'm feeling myself.
She's also going to be in the chat with you guys. I call her our very own chat mistress, so whatever you guys have to say, she is the one to say it to. She likes you guys even better than she likes us, so that's where her mind
is. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
I know it. And he is our 90s baby who is obsessed with the 80s. Yes, you heard that right. It is Ryan Nilsson.
Yes, I don't speak Russian either, but I speak the language of this show. Uh-huh. I'm really excited to talk about this episode.
How long were you thinking about that thing?
Just came up with it.
No way! It was pretty good.
Spot. Like
that. Very, very impressed. We've got a ton to break down for you guys today because I think episode 2 was even more jam-packed than episode 1. We saw the start of a lot of relationships last episode, and in this episode we saw the failing of a lot of relationships, so we're going to cover all of that. Plus, we know more about the rats, and I am not liking it. And, of course, we have our That's So 80s segment that Ryan's going to give us. I need to know all of those references that were made because they went right over my head. And incredible news and gossip from Angelica. So in order to get to all that stuff, we got to start with, what are your thoughts on this episode? Episode 2, Angelica, did you love it? Or was it not as good as the first one?
Well, okay, so here's how I'm going to start off with this. It was a great follow-up to the first episode. It was a little less bang, but from the little cracks that we're seeing showing their way through episode 1, they started to really shine through, grow, widen, and we're seeing some real chasms here. So I think it's setting up really well for the rest of this season. And yeah, I think maybe a little less bang, but still solid.
Okay. A little less bang, but solid. Quote of the century. Tiana, what do you think?
I agree. I enjoyed this episode. It didn't give me, I don't know, episode 1 is always just so exciting, especially when you're throwing back to the 80s and it feels nostalgic and getting all these references after references, and then this episode, it's setting up the story of where we're going this season.
Ryan, did you love it, or are you feeling the same as the ladies?
I'm on a similar wavelength. At first, I was a little disappointed with just how it slowed down a little this episode, but this show has my full trust. I don't have a doubt in my mind that it's going to finish really strong, and I think this episode was a lot more character work. They're setting the table a little more with what's to come, maybe showing some potential arcs with a lot of our characters. So I was very into that.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about some of those cracks that we are mentioning and some of those character developments, starting with what I like to call, excuse me, let me put on my fake glasses, science.
Science alert.
When you guys, just a little peek behind the curtain, things that I refer to as science are not necessarily what other people refer to as science. It's all the things that are a little complicated to explain, so I put them in a science section.
I mean, what you refer to as science isn't actually science, I think, is what you're trying to say.
So, you know, like, again, a little peek behind the curtain. Under our science section, we have Billy and rats. I don't know if either of those are exactly science, but we're going to go through with it right now. Anyway, we start this episode, and Billy, who we just saw get dragged off, and I don't mean that dragged metaphorically, I mean literally dragged, is now back. Initial thoughts, do you think that he is actually Billy? Do you think that he is somebody else? Do you think something's inside him? Where was your head at?
I was kind of feeling, first of all, I was thinking, okay, they can't go down the same path they went down with Barb. Like, we need a clear, concise answer on what's happening to Billy. But I also do think that he is half here, half there. I think that maybe his soul is stuck down there, but while his human body form is up here with, like, a fight going on internally of who, like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, kind of, who's going to come out? Which Billy are we getting?
Yeah, I don't think a hashtag justice for Billy would do as well. I don't think that that's trending everywhere and becoming one of the most successful small characters of all time. But I do agree with you. I kind of gave me Us vibes? Did anybody else feel that way?
Big time.
With the untethered and or doppelgangers, and then also a lot of the comic book movies we've seen this summer where it's like, wait, is that somebody else pretending to be this person? Or what exactly is, are you a Skrull? How did they come to Stranger Things? What's up here? Ryan, how'd you feel?
I think this show does not like people named William. Because we got a Will who was possessed by the upside down creatures for 2 seasons, and now someone named Billy, which is off of William.
Billiam.
Also brought down there and abused and taken advantage of.
That so, is the thread you found?
That's the thread I found. The
Don't be named Bill.
Name. Don't be named William.
Okay.
Got it.
Angelica, how do you feel about this part?
I completely agree with, you know, everyone that's spoken previously. I think that he's sort of torn. He's between both worlds, and I'm not saying, you know, there's like the Jekyll and Hyde thing, because he's already a little Hyde-ish to start off with, but I definitely think he's now become sort of a puppet for, you know, the upside down. He's definitely become a messenger and a servant of some sort. So
why was he targeted? Is it because he chose to try to meet up with Mrs. Wheeler and is a bad guy? Is it random? Is it because of what previously happened last year where with the kids and him trying to step in? Where do you guys lie on this? Why specifically Billy? Or is it because his name?
It's his name.
It's his name.
Sorry, I forgot we already solved this one. But seriously, why do we think that this is happening to him?
I think he just had bad luck driving down the street and was randomly picked. You know, it's like the next car that comes driving by this road that no one else seems to be on right now in this small town in the middle of nowhere. Boom, you're just bad luck.
Exactly. I think he got a little too close to the spooky shed with all the rats.
Hate getting too close to that spooky shed.
Here's one thing you don't do, kids. When your car randomly gets like hit with something and you're in the middle of nowhere, I know, like, the car was messed up and everything, so you got out to check on it, but maybe also, like, first thought, get to safety where someone else is around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just how I think.
I just was like, pull out your cell phone. And then I was like, oh, it's 2019.
Yeah.
And they had that brief moment where he goes in the payphone, but
he thinks about calling 911, and then
he gets immediately taken.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that didn't work out.
Scary
so well.
Sequence, by the way. This is one of the more horrifying sequences. The season's way leaning into horror, much like season one. I feel like season two is a lot more action. This is back to horror.
Wait, correct me if I'm wrong, though. The 911 happens after he was taken. He just didn't know what to tell them, so he doesn't say anything. That's how I interpreted that sequence of events.
It was a montage.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of flashing lights. I think some of it was in his head. We're not entirely sure if he even was in the phone booth.
Because what is a flash? Yeah, that's true. I didn't know. The way that I interpreted it was, okay, I'm on the phone with 911 after I just got taken. What do I even try to, how do I verbalize this? They'll think I'm crazy. I can't. So
you got to be location. circumstances and don't mention the Motel 6. But other than that, I think it's
a yeah. The Motel. And who even knows if he was in the real world or in the Upside Down?
Yeah, I don't know. And then what we see later on, we know he's changed because of a couple of different things. Number one, when he goes back to the pool to do his job, he's having issues, right? Light sensitivity, burning. We don't know what's real and what's not, what's in his head, what he's seeing, but there's stuff going on with his body. And then when Mrs. Wheeler approaches him, which, by the way, I liked finding out that she didn't actually go to meet up with him. Super
felt
happy.
Felt so good.
Felt so good. Like, stay with your husband who's with your kids. That is the right thing to do, ma'am.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she was about to walk out the door, though, and she saw her husband laying with her daughter.
We all have thoughts. Like, your actions are what matter. So I think that she did go too far, but this was her realizing that there's a different level of too far that she was about to approach. For me, at least, I still think that that's redeemable when she didn't end up showing up.
Agreed.
But when she goes to talk to Billy about it, he's standing, he's sweating, he's looking pissed. At this moment, are you guys thinking he's upset about what she did? Do you even think he knows that she didn't show up at this point?
No, I don't think he knows that she didn't show up. For all he knows, he's the one who didn't show up. I mean, he's just been in this upside down world. He doesn't know what's happening. He is down there and sees himself approach him. Like, he's freaking out. He doesn't know what's real, what's fake at this point. So, sorry, Mrs. Wheeler. I appreciate that you didn't stray from your marriage. But also, girl, he got so much other things going on right now. He ain't bothered by you.
This might be reading way too deep into things. So you guys tell me. Like, way too deep. But in this moment, he says, stay away from me, Karen. And we know he doesn't call her Karen. He calls her Mrs. Wheeler because when he was practicing meeting up with her, he said to himself, can I call you Karen? And I'm wondering if whatever monster took him heard and saw that moment and now knows that this person's name is Karen and is now embodying it's not actually Billy fully in there. And that person says, stay away from me, Karen.
Absolutely. I was about to say he looks actually possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does look extra evil in that moment with the scene when he was holding some sort of chemical bottle.
Still hot, though.
Still hot.
Still hot.
And, I mean, literally, too. He was very sweaty.
Very sweaty.
And I was actually really scared. I didn't know what he was going to do. So, yeah, I could believe that.
So we see this flash of him hurt Mrs. Wheeler. He hits her head against the wall and she falls. And then we see the actual reaction, which wasn't that. I was completely fooled by this moment. I thought that he went crazy and did this. Did it get you guys as well or no?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought he attacked her and was like, oh, yes, finally. Like, now we got Mike's mom involved.
You got excited?
Well, not excited, but I got excited that maybe she would finally find out what's going on with her son the last year and a half or however long this has been, you know, happening in their town. She's living in her little bubble of not knowing while her children are involved in this huge secret for the town.
Right.
So I was just thinking, a way to get parents involved in what their children are doing.
But no. And what I love about the show is, though, now we think we're safe, right? So he's not actually going to hurt people because we are pretty convinced after this, okay, that's the vision, but he's got enough self-control and ability to take over his body when he needs to. So I'm feeling pretty good about him.
Right.
Until we see that he is in the shower. And the coworker comes in, and, yeah, he done beats her up and kidnaps her.
Yes.
So now I'm not feeling so safe about little old Billy anymore.
No, not very redeemable.
What's the deal? Is this a sacrifice?
I think the key thing there was with the mom, he had just been possessed, if that's what we're calling it. And then before the other lifeguard, he got burned on his elbow. And in season two, when Will was possessed, he never retaliated or attacked anyone until he was burned at the stake and his mom was turning up the heat. So I think after that injury, he had to latch on to something. But
so something about the heat, you think, the temperature?
Something about getting injured. Something about the sun is what burned him. So I think after it felt wounded, it had to retaliate whatever's inside of him.
So you don't think it was rabies? Is what you're saying?
No.
I thought he was a vampire and that the sun was just going to melt
him. I was full too. I was like, okay, it's vampire time.
I don't know. Speaking of rabies, the rats have rabies, really? That's what we've come up with right now? Detective Nancy Drew? I love that, by the way.
I mean, you see rats, they're acting erratic. Yeah, no pun intended. And
But what we know is that the rats aren't just acting rabid. They're blowing up.
Yeah. So
like, we don't know
just
that.
Boom.
We
boom,
do.
Like, we, the audience, know that.
Yeah, the audience.
And so as I'm watching this, I'm like, what? What's happening? What's making... And also, could someone warn? Could I get a warning? Because I was eating dinner.
So, yeah. Here's the curious part. Here's the strange part, because I felt the same way, T, that they were blowing up. But that's not actually what we see happen. We see that they're morphing into a different creature, because when Nancy and Jonathan go to Mrs. Driscoll's, you know, they leave work, they decide that they've got to go solve this case, detectives, they got to figure it out. When they're watching, Jonathan's taking pictures of this rat, they've got him captured. When they leave and the rat turns into oatmeal, that's how I'm going to describe it, oatmeal guts, gutty oatmeal, and goes through the cage and then starts crawling like an animal on the ground, I don't even know if we could say what they blew up, because really they're just they're inside out.
It's transmorphic.
It's an inside out rat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And sorry. Now I can never eat oatmeal again. Thank you.
Thanks for ruining oatmeal.
Can somebody talk to me about what's happening here? How are the rats like this, and what are they? What's their game plan?
I just look over at Ryan, like, explain science to us.
What did the 80s tell us about this?
Yeah. What did the 80s tell you about this? I think clearly the rats are attracted to that warehouse, which is where, you know, Billy was taken. Some kind of source, I think it's what came out of Will in season 2, is there and attracting those rats. I think they're turning into that monster we keep seeing in the background. That daddy long legs, weird, Stranger Things monster, the smoke monster. I think that's what's turning into in the real world. So I don't think it can take a physical form without borrowing other already alive creatures.
Which has to be rats, or could be anything else.
That's the big question.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to dip into, you know, like, the lore of things, I think rats...
Yeah, sci-fi girl, tell us more.
Well, I don't know about, like, sci-fi lore, but, you know, if you look into, like, witchcraft and stuff like that, generally, I think rats are a little more, I think, closer to that sort of thing. And, like, definitely the you know, upside down. I feel like it's, like, a lot of these kind of, like, dark creatures. It's just more, I think, tied into it. So it's going to take these rats. It needs some sort of organic material to take, like, a corporeal form. And that was the best thing to do. And probably less noticeable.
So, sorry, I have a question. So are we saying that the rats are turning into and then, like, coming together like Legos to kind of, like, build up this body? Like, they're all a piece of whatever this monster is, and they're slowly...
The blob.
Building up.
It's certainly possible, but the other piece of this puzzle that we find out in this episode, thanks to Mrs. Driscoll, is the fertilizer. They are eating the fertilizer. They've gone through all of her bags. They've taken it all. And I like that they hit us over the head. She's not senile. She's not a crazy old lady. Nancy asks her 50 times, and she's like, bitch, I told you, the bats are eating the fertilizer. I know it's weird, which I thought was amazing that the show was like, we know you guys are going to question this, and you shouldn't be. What's up with that? Why does our monster now in the shape of rats need fertilizer? Are they bringing that back to their place that they go, or are they using that to explode? Do they know that will make the rat blow up? Like, you know, they're eating it in their rat form because they get in their brains because they know that will make them ultimately burst or turn into oatmeal, as I call it.
It might be an energy to get the rats to the warehouse, but it also could play a part into why they're exploding. That is a question I don't have an answer for quite yet. I think... That's the only indication. Indication of fertilizer we've seen with all these rats so far. So
could it be that there's something in the fertilizer, and we're going to get down to the bottom of that?
Hopefully, because I just googled about rats eating fertilizer, and I'm not coming up with anything good.
Not even rabies?
No, not even that. But our chat has some good opinions.
Yes, give it to us, team.
So Hunter Ziegelman said the rats are CIA censors. Stay woke.
I am
right there with you, Hunter. Like, you might be onto something. And Billie Jean Girl 24 says it looked like the rat melted to her or him. Sorry, I didn't want to assume anything because Billy is a neutral name. And then Hunter also says the rats are like the individual parts of the Iron Giant at the end of the movie after he blows up. So
I love that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, it seems like that one's the one that we're going with.
That's what we're going with.
I don't know if we've solved it yet, guys. And certainly Nancy and Jonathan have not solved it because Jonathan doesn't seem to be much of a detective.
Well, if Nancy hadn't interrupted him, he may have seen more.
That is true. He was in an observational period, and she should know better.
But
I agree.
But it's kind of her thing to interrupt him at the point where it's, like, the most important thing's about to happen for him. You know,
right.
First episode one, it's, you know, going into the booth while he's trying to develop film, which for kids, that's how you used to develop pictures back in the day.
Yeah.
You had a dark room, you did all that stuff, and, you know, we didn't have digital photos in the 80s.
No way.
I know. It's crazy, right?
But then how did you take pictures on your phone?
We didn't have those either.
What?
I know.
No. Ryan, did you know that about the 80s? Huh?
I'm learning something every day.
T, yeah. I'm so glad you're reading things from the chat. I know that that's just one of many ways people can talk to us here at AfterBuzz TV.
Yes, guys, please, if you're in the chat right now, give us a thumbs up and a like. If you guys are listening on iTunes, make sure you give us rate us 5 stars and leave a comment there.
This only is 5 stars.
Only 5 stars.
Only take 5.
5. And no change on that either.
Yeah.
It's one way to help support us here at AfterBuzz TV. Leave us comments. Let us know what you're liking about the show, Stranger Things, what you're liking about us. Tell us how pretty we are. Tell us we look amazing. Tell me that this yellow bow is just like everything, you know?
Yeah. Don't tell us that we're the gray side of the table and they're the more colorful side of the table. We know. Yeah. We know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but thank you guys so much for supporting us here at AfterBuzz TV, and we thank you and continue, and we want to continue giving you great content, so please make sure you guys spread the love and give us love.
And we got to know what you guys think about this next topic, because Mike and Elle are in a lover's quarrel, guys.
I mean, they went from making out to breaking out.
Breaking out. What are they doing? Making out to breaking up. Let's just talk about what they're actually doing, right. And then we'll figure out the play on words later. So Elle notices her man is not where he said he would be at the time he said, "Where are you? I see the time. You have not come over, and you are not here, and this is our play date time." And
don't call it
play. It's
make out time, I think, for them.
There is nothing better than watching Hopper talk to Mike and explain to him why he cannot be, first of all, why he had to initially have gone home, but then why he cannot be with Elle. And the aftermath in this episode was brilliant because he's scared crapless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does not know how to handle himself, so he just starts lying. But you don't have to lie, bro. Why don't you just tell her what happened? This is the problem with men, Ryan.
Yeah, talk to Lucas. He knows what's up.
Yeah, I guess.
If he told her what happened, then she's just going to go to Hopper and, like, use her mind to snap his finger and break it or something to teach him a lesson. So it's not going to help the cycle. Yes, he didn't have to lie to her, and maybe he should have gone to Lucas for some advice since he's an F-boy. But also, we don't know what Lucas's solution might have been. It could have been something worse.
Right.
I think he did touch on it a little bit, but his final solution was what?
It was
buying
fact.
Things.
Lucas is open with, like, yo, you know how many times my girlfriend dumps me? Because I mess up all the time, and she keeps dumping me, but she keeps taking me back, but he doesn't know that she's actually pulling the strings on him in that case.
You have got to do what you've got to do, ladies, okay? I loved this, though, because it was the impetus to get Max and Elle to the mall.
Mm.
And one thing Elle certainly needs is a girlfriend. She needs that relationship because she has no idea how to function as a woman right now. She does not know that she's allowed to have taste in clothes or what to do with her thoughts about boys or anything that all the young women grow up learning. And her man, Mike, has those guy friends. So even though Lucas gives dumbass advice, at least he has somebody he can talk to. Because we all know it gets really isolating and lonely, and Elle has not had a normal life so far. And this was one of the most normal things I have seen. So I was really excited for her to have Max be like, shopping spree. Even if it's just window shopping.
Oh, and it felt so good to see that just 80s montage where they're trying on clothes.
Yes. So good. And she's got good taste. I like that little outfit she came up with.
For someone who has spent most of her life trapped inside of buildings, girl got style.
I completely agree.
Gotta say.
And I liked, I related to so much more and liked their experience so much more than I liked the boys at the mall. Mm. So you think you can get rid of this by going to buy her a $3.20 little gift that you didn't even pick out? You think, Ryan?
Money can't buy you love.
You think, Ryan?
It's the 80s, so $3 was probably the equivalent of like $20 for, you know,
No amount of money. Apologize and admit why you lied.
But also buy me something. You can apologize, but also, like, bring me something, too.
Yeah, I mean, gifts don't hurt, but, I mean, we clearly see a communication breakdown here, and we're starting to see that form, you know, a huge schism within this group, right? We're seeing boys versus girls now.
Were you guys just waiting for them to bump into each other like I was? Because yes. You know it's coming, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was such a satisfying moment, because the guys have been doing their stupid bear buying too expensive extravaganza, and they strike out. The girl's been having the best day.
The best day.
The best day. So she's feeling that confidence. She's feeling that vibe. And when she sees Mike, he had the opportunity to tell her the truth one more time. But did he, Ryan? No.
Sorry, Ryan. You're the only male here, so you're kidding.
No, did he?
No. Represent? No, he did not.
But did you guys tell?
And then he goes, Ryan. She goes, I dump us.
No, she said,
I dump your ass.
I dump your ass.
She said, your ass.
Yes. Well,
I thought she said us.
I know it seems a little out of character, but that's what Max says earlier in it, like, for advice for her on the bed. She says,
I dump your ass.
Yeah, so Max told her earlier, if you know, everything keeps going wrong, you dump his ass.
Dump his ass.
I dump your ass.
That's why it was so incredible, because we haven't heard her do something like that, and it was... yes, you do.
Putting her foot down.
Ryan.
He was intimidated by Hopper.
Okay. Hopper's another man.
Give him some credit. Like,
so, just to play devil's advocate, since there is only one male here, they've been together consistently for 6 months.
This
is the first day they're going without seeing each other for 6 months.
But
this
not because he wants to.
Not because he wants to.
If he had just said that, like, I need a little time to hang with my guys, I think Elle would have been cool.
Yeah, but this is also the first fight. The first thing that's gone wrong in their relationship, and her initial thing is just to dump him. Is that good advice from her friend? I'm just playing devil's advocate because we're giving the guy a lot of crap right now. I gotta support my guy Ryan right now.
Excuse you. Not just dump him. Dump his ass.
Dump his ass.
And you know, they're kids. They're not relationship experts here. And I think, you know, from what
give it to
like,
them.
Elle is very, very hurt by this. She's continuously saying friends don't lie. And she's just so hurt.
It's true.
And he says friends don't lie to her. So Tiana, whose side are you on?
I'm on Elle's, because also in two seasons he's always lied to her at some point, and she says friends don't lie. And he's like, yeah, but really he's lying. So I mean, Mike, you're a F-boy, too.
Yeah.
This is Hopper's fault.
I agree.
Is it Hopper's fault?
Yes.
I mean, he's just he's like a new dad again, right?
He didn't talk to Elle about it.
And
he talked to him about it.
He didn't take Joyce's advice at all. He literally went through this whole dating 101 for your kids with Joyce, and he did not take her advice. Although, the kids were being little brats.
They were.
Whispering in front of him.
They made it difficult. Ooh. I mean, Mike made it very difficult.
Yeah. Ooh, we're in trouble now.
Yeah, you're rude. You're rude, Mike.
Rude.
Back in my day,
Ryan.
You talked back to an adult, you got slapped.
I'm sorry.
Ryan says it's Hopper's fault.
It's Hopper's fault. I mean,
and I say it's Mike's fault.
It's all communication here, you know? Everyone just needs to talk. And obviously, Hopper clearly has issues sharing his feelings.
Yes, and definitely. He has a gun. And he's the head of the police force.
A little intimidating.
So when you're a teenager and the guy whose daughter you're dating has a gun and is threatening you, you kind of listen to him.
But this isn't the biggest threat going on the show. Ooh, is that my fiercest transition yet? I think so. Because we have a threat from the Russians, y'all. And we have intercepted it. Staying in the mall right now. Dustin comes to Steve. He needs his help. Don't know why Dustin picked Steve to get help from for this.
Because his friends ditched him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Steve?
So, hey, they have a relationship.
Go to Nancy.
They have Dad Steve.
You don't know what's going on. Go to Jonathan.
We love the Dad Steve relationship between Dustin, though. It's been developed here.
If you guys could pick the last person on the show that would be able to help with Russian translation, would it be Steve? Because mine would be. Yep.
be Steve, but I think it's because all of his friends sort of let him down that last episode. They left him on that hill alone.
Yeah.
Which I think he was being a little extra sensitive to. Besides Mike and Elle leaving, yes, good excuse. The other guys, hey, it's like 9 p.m.
They hung forever.
I'm hungry. I hung it here forever listening to you say the same thing over and over again. I'm going to go home.
Also, can't believe their parents let them do that at this point.
Plus, Will was there, and he was like, hey, dude, tomorrow can we just go play Dungeons & Dragons together?
Let's just
play Dungeons & Dragons.
Like, I know your girlfriend's hot, but what do I have to call her for?
Yeah.
It's not going to let me see her. I'm not meeting her, so nope. But they are trying to do this Russian translation and leave it to the girl to have to step in.
Robin.
Go straight.
Hey,
things.
Robin.
Robin's killing it, and she's like, listen, I speak many different languages. I've got you guys. Did you think that we were going to get more resolution from this after we got a sentence that made very little sense? Or were you guys like, no, this is going to be an ongoing all season long thing?
I mean, I knew once they were going to translate that, you know, with our newfound linguistic expert, Robin, I knew they were going to be like, all right, this makes no sense just because of what we've heard previously, but they're smart kids. I knew they would figure it out. They would try to probably piece it all together, and it was going to take, you know, maybe a little more than one episode for that.
Okay.
I mean, they got further than I think I would have gotten in a day of trying to translate Russian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, they actually did a lot of work in that one day, getting a whole complete sentence together.
Yeah, I think it was mostly Robin, honestly.
Yeah, like,
so here's what we got.
Mostly Robin.
Yeah.
It was Steve Robin. Knew the song, and he figured it out at the end with the song.
Well, that is true. Oh, one point for Steve. Amen. Yeah.
But we're, regardless of that, that was, you know, that's indicating something else. But we're talking about just the message.
Russia. Here's what we get. The week is long. The silver cat feeds when blue meets yellow in the west. Somebody talk to me. Somebody
tell me. Silver cat. I thought alluded to that machine we saw the first scene of the entire season.
Okay.
And it says it eats to the west?
No, when blue meets yellow to the west, in the west. I believe it was the week is long, the silver cat feeds when blue meets yellow in the west. T, if you want to check me on that. But I believe that's what it was.
It almost sounds like a phrase that someone, like a Russian spy, would trigger them and... Like, almost one of those, like,
a sleeper agent.
Okay. It sounds like one of those phrases that you would read.
I definitely think it's code. It's some sort of code.
What is blue meets yellow in the west?
Blue and yellow, when they come together, don't they make, like, green?
Mm-hmm. Green, yeah.
I don't know. That's all I got, guys.
Okay.
I'm really bad at riddles.
I don't know this one. You guys let us know in the comments if you've got something more. But you are right, Ryan, that there is not only one part of this riddle. There are two, because that rocking horse makes a sound. And it is something that the Russians are recording this in front of, I guess. Like, were they at the mall?
Yeah, I think beneath the mall.
It's under.
Underneath the mall, I think.
I mean, it makes sense with, you know, just the power going out and things like that, too.
Brilliant.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, they're going to have to do a lot of work to keep uncoding this, because we've got a sentence, but we still have zero idea what's happening here.
We'll figure it out.
We will.
You believe in us.
Yeah, I do too. I believe in us. We'll keep,
like,
our ears and
the four
and
of us will figure it out? Or?
I think so.
No, absolutely not.
And everybody. And chat help.
Yeah, the people at home, you guys will help us. Thank you.
So I have some from the chat. Hunter says, blue meets yellow might reference a country's flag. That's another way to go about it. And Vito Scooty just said the beam from the machine is blue.
Okay.
Interesting.
From, it was
like
blue.
I
was thinking blue, like sky, meets yellow, earth, in the west. Something about
the west.
The point.
I was thinking of sunsets. Because the sun sets in the west.
I
but
like that.
Again, I'm really bad at riddles.
That's similar to
that
what I was saying.
Could be it.
But the week is long, meaning that there's not darkness. It's light.
Alaska.
We figured it out. I knew we'd get it.
Yeah. Alaska.
Everybody say
it
with me now.
Alaska.
Yeah. Clearly we're helpless, so let's just try to find somebody who's looking for answers too. Joyce, again, strong with the transitions, rocks. Joyce is having a little bit of a magnet issue. I don't know if I would, if I'm Joyce and magnets on my fridge aren't working and then at my shop aren't working, if I'm finding a correlation or I'm just thinking some rascals bumped into it, but she is looking into this.
It is part of her character at this point to just be constantly just enveloped in conspiracies, I think.
And she does have reason to. Obviously, there's been some ish up in the past.
Oh, yeah. She's justified.
Definitely. So she goes to ex-teacher of the kids, Mr. Clark, because he's got all the answers, as many kids' teachers do with the science. He's got all of it, and he tells her, you crazy. This is a coincidence. I think so.
But why is it just her house and where she works?
So this
like,
is my
nowhere
question.
Else in the town is losing magnetism?
My question to you is it Joyce, or is it anywhere that her son has been, or, because maybe he has something to do with it, or are other places in the town also losing magnetism, but people are just not picking up on it?
Yeah, because, I mean, sometimes the magnets don't stick to my refrigerator.
So it's you.
And so
It's you.
But I never thought more into it. I was just like, oh, must be a bad magnet.
Totally.
Moving on with my life. But Joyce is like, oh, that fell, and then these fell at work.
T, have you had any nightmares about being in the Upside Down?
Great question.
Always.
Okay, you might be a catalyst.
Oh. Guys, Ryan's done with this bit.
Yeah, I'm done with this bit. Mr. Clark he gives an explanation by not giving an explanation. Because he shows her that example of that magnetic cube, and then when you put that coil around it and apply an energy, everything became demagnetized. So
science.
Science. So I think what you were saying earlier, Roxy, is that Will might be that coil. Mm-hmm. Someone who might have been.
Because I'm assuming he's at the shop.
Right.
You know, and he's been there. But then when we see this start popping up more places, Will has been. Or is it just where Will spends a lot of time?
Well, also just included in that, the teacher or Mr. Clark also, you know, with some gentle prodding here from Joyce. He says, yeah, if you get a giant machine like that AC transformer, which I think we have a giant machine in this town, right?
But then why wouldn't it be happening to the whole town?
Oh.
I mean, why did the whole town lose power? And he said, with a ton of power, it could potentially do that. And what was it, like, flip the dipoles? Science terms.
Science. Mm-hmm. I agree, science.
We might have that machine in
this
town.
Yes, we may have a machine.
That could be it, though.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to see. While Joyce is looking into this, you know what she's not doing? Going on a date with Hopper, because she stood his ass up.
Yeah.
Oh, I break up with your ass.
Heartbreaking.
And this was weird, because he very clearly states it's not a date, although it very clearly is a date. He gets the new shirt. He does the whole thing.
Chianti.
He orders her all the drinks before she comes, which, by the way, no.
Don't do that.
Let me order my own drink, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Ryan. Please pass it on to Hopper. Well, just because also, like, what if I show up and I want a water?
Mm-hmm.
It's very presumptuous to assume that I want all of the whiskey and wine in the world, because he ordered a lot.
Yes.
It's the 80s.
Yeah, and he has no cell phone to call her, although there was probably a restaurant phone he could have called, and he didn't. He wanted to sit and mope, and I felt the same way, because I felt really bad for him.
Because even if he had called, what, he's going to call her house and not get an answer there? Too, and then just be even more disappointed.
Did she forget, or did she stand him up?
I believe she forgot.
She completely forgot.
Ryan?
Forgot. It goes down to this lack of communication. It's a miscommunication, that George Romero quote I had last episode. This season is all miscommunications. This is what happened with Elle. This is happening with Hopper and Joyce. This is happening with everyone so far, and this one's a pretty big one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's a little more than a miscommunication, though. I think this is going to be the start of a big fight. Because he's going to want to pretend he doesn't care, but obviously he does. And we got a whole situation coming up. Because I think Hopper's got a lot going on right now, and he just does not need this from Joyce. Because he's getting it from other people, right? Like Larry Klein. The meanest, baddest
boo.
Mayor there was. Boo. Everybody insert boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah.
So, first of all, as you wish.
Oh.
Right.
And
no.
Then,
not no more.
And then, no, not no more.
Looking good.
And you're in?
He's not a farm boy. He's not a farm boy
and
anymore.
Then, second of all, how are we feeling about, this is very reminiscent of stuff that is going on today. How are we feeling about this conversation surrounding the mall and all the jobs that have been lost due to this new thing popping up and mom and pop stores are having to fold? Are you understanding where the mayor's coming from, or are you guys on team protesters?
I was actually going to get into this a little bit with the special segment, but to tease that, you know, I think whenever a mall or a big business came into one of these small American towns, it takes all the business away. So the store that Joyce is working at, no one's been in. Hopper's showing up at like 1 p.m. joking about how busy it is. No one's been there all day. When these big businesses come in, which might be the Russians, just a front for their experiment, that comes in, it drives all the small businesses out.
Okay.
It felt pretty bad. It honestly, when there's something very sketchy about this mayor. He's a politician to a T. He's got that smile, but you can tell there's something going on.
Tiana?
He's clearly working with the Russians, and they rigged the election so that he would win, because Ooh. Clearly the people don't like him.
Wow. Do you think that that's what this show is alluding to? Because I honestly thought
I honestly think so. From the start, I mean, I know that in seasons 1 and 2, there are already Russian sprinkles throughout, but this season they've really been driving home, even having them working on a secret mission. It's been all about Russians. We have Russians today that we're talking about all the time. We have
Russians today we're talking about.
All those Russians.
We have the shifty politician types, you know, where people are feeling some sort of way about this person who's supposed to be protecting them that they feel betrayed by now. Like, it's all very much, like,
and
current.
Then right now, the talk of, you know, 2019 is how technology is taking jobs from people, and that's the big bad that we're fighting. But I agree, T, it's all very much there. And I don't know if he is necessarily working with the Russians, but I think it's a missed opportunity if he's not.
Yeah.
Because that will tie everything in.
Yeah.
And otherwise, why are we going down this route?
Oh, there's definitely a hidden agenda here.
Yeah
completely.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for it.
Completely agree.
Wait, oh my God, I just remembered. He even said, I'm throwing a huge 4th of July party for the town,
which
that they're going to love.
Well, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's a perfect
But was it $2.5 million? Because unclear.
Unclear. Might have been.
All
don't know.
This panel has thrown enough shade for right this second. Wow. Angelica, is you're shady or no? What do you have?
I'm plotting. I'm thinking about what's
next. You're scheming. So before we move on to what is next, which of course is Ryan's segment, the one thing I forgot to mention that I wanted to say to you guys is during the Billy stuff, when he's talking to his doppelganger, what he says is, I want you to build what you see. I want you to build what you see. Huh? What's that mean?
Maybe a Field of Dreams reference. If you build it, they will come.
Crypticism.
I mean,
like cryptic.
I don't know.
I think it's alluding to those little images he's having in his head. He's like,
so
I'm going to tell
you. If you see yourself smashing somebody, then I want you to smash somebody.
Exactly.
I kind of got that same
vibe. I'm giving you those messages.
Attack, right?
Literally, yes, like smash them in the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not the other kind of...
You mean attack.
Yeah, I do mean attack.
Exactly. Just let me take...
Build what you see. I'm going to show it to you, then you build that.
Let me take the wheel and just follow what I show you.
Creepy AF.
Very creepy.
What's also creepy? The 80s, because that's so 80s.
That's so
Ryan,
80s.
What do you got for us?
Hey, you guys, that's so 80s segment right here. Few things. We were just talking about how, you know, the whole strip, the main strip of the town, is running out of business because of this big new mall. Well, back to the George Romero references, he had a film called Dawn of the Dead, which was in his trilogy of zombie films, also remade by Zack Snyder in the early 2000s. That movie was an entire allegory for big business coming in and getting rid of small businesses, just used through zombies. So I think there is a similar allegory here going on with that in Stranger Things. So just wanted to point that out. Also, there was a major 80s reference to David Cronenberg's The Fly when Billy is in the warehouse and all of the rats exploded and came together to form one. Just a direct reference to David Cronenberg's The Fly. And guys, that's all. Oh, one last thing. Mallrats, the name of the episode is The Mallrats. Good little reference to Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes film.
Yeah, we're going to the 90s on that
one.
A little flash forward.
So that was your That's So 80s roundup.
I love the 80s references explained by you, because I got to tell you, didn't catch those.
I missed most of these movies. Yeah.
And what's great about it is I'm hoping that Brianna has it on the close-up of you guys, because T's face when you're explaining these.
Oh, really?
You could tell she missed them.
Yeah.
Needless to say, you could tell she missed them.
Gotta work on my poker face.
Let's get into some news and gossip, though, because I gotta know what's going on in the news world. Angelica.
So, Ryan, it's not just in your head. We actually have confirmation from Ross Duffer that the season was inspired by a few different kind of horror things. Just in case you guys at home are wondering, am I getting really squeamish, or is this season just getting more and more gory? It was actually inspired by John Carpenter's The Thing, Cronenberg, who's known for his body horror, and the master of zombie movies himself, George Romero, who did things like Night of the Living Dead, which makes us all wonder, does dead rat goo, does that mean it's a zombie now if it becomes reanimated?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I kind of do think they're zombies.
Yeah?
A little bit. Because they're like the undead, for sure.
Exactly. Throwing it back to that very first episode, too, when all the kids are watching Day of the Dead.
Definitely zombie. Zombie rats.
Yeah. Zombie rats. Zombie but they're not rats anymore. They're now zombie oatmeal.
They've become something more.
It makes it worse when I say oatmeal, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it
really does. Please stop saying oatmeal. I can't have oatmeal now.
All right. Well, I guess we'll go off right now to not have oatmeal, but to watch the next episode of the show, because we got to see what's happening on Stranger Things. Until we cover episode 3, though, where can the people keep up with you?
Well, I'm Angelica Trey, and you can find me on most platforms at A-Trey, A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E, and Instagram at Angelica Trey.
And Tiana?
You can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you to everyone who was in our live chat today talking to me, Dr. Lee too, Ghostface, Hunter, Billie Jean Girl, and others. Sorry if I didn't get to you, I might have missed you, but know that I'm always watching, and you guys have some great commentary.
Creepy. She's always watching.
Always watching.
Ryan, where can everybody find you?
You guys can find me at Ryan's Nilsson on Twitter. Tweet at me if there's any 80s references I missed, and just love talking about the show with you guys.
And you guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Also us at AfterBuzz TV. We've been doing a whole revamping of our Twitter, so trust me, you want to go check it out because we got some fun stuff going on there. Until episode 3, we'll see you later, Stranger Things fans.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.